being that this meal, this event, holiday, insert whatever, it doesn't actually have to be the Super Bowl, I just figured that would be timely, is only one meal, we shouldn't get ourselves too hung up about it. But I am going to share maybe an unpopular opinion that we should actually get a little bit hung up about the decisions that we make at parties, holidays, etc. And here's why.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
Fix listeners, welcome back to our latest episode of the Fix podcast. I'm your host, Krista Huber, and I've got a solo episode for you guys today that is about all things Super Bowl. Now, if you are on my email list, you guys know this episode will not be a conversation about Travis and Taylor. It's going to be all about what events like the Super Bowl mean to you, your health, your fitness, your nutrition, but more specifically, your relationship to food. This is just a quick riff that I've been sitting on for the last 24 hours, and I was actually going to record yesterday before the Super Bowl, but I'm recording this Monday morning, the day after the game. You'll hear it Thursday if you're listening to the episode when it drops live. And this all kind of started because of some posts that I saw and something that honestly, I am guilty of saying, and something that I actually want to correct, go on record and say, I changed my mind, which is important to me because I think there's a lot of coaches out there who come up with one way to think about something, come up with one approach for helping other people achieve fat loss. They think it works just because it worked for a handful of people. And then all of a sudden decide that that's the way to do it. That is one of the biggest problems that I see in this industry in coaches failing to meet clients where they are with the exact things, situations, whatever you want to call it, that they struggle with right then and there in their current life phase that they're in, with their, whatever their work life might look like, whether they have kids, a family, you name it. And we often are very quick to say things like, oh, the Super Bowl is just one day, or oh, Thanksgiving is just one meal. And I'm using the comparison of Thanksgiving because I think we can all probably agree that in some scenarios, there can be a Super Bowl party that has just as much food as some people do for Thanksgiving. I heard on another podcast yesterday that for sports fans or just people in general, the Super Bowl is like the Thanksgiving of sporting events, specifically because of the food. And I kind of have to agree. So I was planning on recording this yesterday because I started formulating these opinions, but I wanted to actually see how I handled my Super Bowl party that I attended and how I thought about my choices based on the foods that were presented to me, because I thought it might be helpful if you actually hear from somebody who lives this. And that is what is important to me as a coach. Everything that I work on, that I preach inside of this podcast, I believe in it because I've seen it not only work for hundreds of clients, but I've also seen it work for me. I've also figured out where it doesn't work for me, why things don't work for me. And if you've been paying attention to my last couple of solo episodes, I've shared the fact that I am on a mission this year to focus on my health and my nutrition, but from a slightly different lens of paying attention to my relationship with myself. I got into a lot of the mindset in the last two episodes that I did, just talking about where I'm at in my journey. So I kind of figured, let's get into some tactical, let's get into some examples of situations where our relationship with food gets to be tested. And I'm pretty sure we can all agree that the Super Bowl is one of those situations. So here's what I'm kind of changing my mind on. And it's this statement that being that this meal, this event, holiday, insert whatever, it doesn't actually have to be the Super Bowl, I just figured that would be timely, is only one meal, we shouldn't get ourselves too hung up about it. But I am going to share maybe an unpopular opinion that we should actually get a little bit hung up about the decisions that we make at parties, holidays, etc. And here's why. It's the ultimate test of what our relationship with food currently looks like. So let me be clear. Most of the time, myself included, when coaches post things or share reminders with their clients of, hey, don't stress out about days like the Super Bowl because it is just one day. Don't worry about what the scale says tomorrow. Here's the exact science as to why we're saying that. We are saying that because you legitimately cannot gain a pound of body fat overnight unless you eat in excess of 3,500 calories. That means in addition to the normal caloric intake that your body can handle and the calories, the minimum amount of calories your body needs to do its most basic functions, let alone work out, et cetera, other ways that you actually expend energy and therefore use the calories you're eating, you would need to eat another 3,500 calories on top of that to actually gain a pound. So Krista, what the heck is the fluctuation that I am seeing on the scale come Monday morning? And maybe this is you every week, not just the day after the Super Bowl. If that's you, then please listen to the rest of this episode. That's just water. And what happens is because you maybe didn't make the absolute best, most nutritious choices at whatever that Super Bowl party was or whatever that scenario looked like for you, you wind up holding onto a little bit of water because there's just more volume of food in your stomach. And maybe they're not foods that you eat all the time. And what happens is even like meal timing, maybe you ate things a little bit later last night. Maybe you drank some alcohol, maybe whatever. There's so many different factors that actually move the scale around. So when a coach says not to stress yourself out about this one day, we're more so talking about making it clear to you that this is not representative of the actual body fat that you may have accumulated over the course of the last 5-6 years or however long, to where you're now uncomfortable, to where you now don't like how your clothes fit, to where you now see a picture of yourself and you're like, oh shit, I do not, how the heck do I look like this? How did I get here? Where you don't feel confident, where you feel sluggish, where you feel like you just are not the person maybe you were a few years ago when you had less on your plate, when you were prioritizing more of your routine, when you were paying more attention to what you were actually putting in your mouth. And I agree with that. So maybe I shouldn't say I'm going to correct my statement or rescind a statement that I made. I just want to edit it. And here's why I want to edit it. If you are the person who yesterday looked around and you saw, or I should say on Sunday, since I'm recording, by the time you guys hear this, it will be more than yesterday. So if on Super Bowl Sunday, you were looking around and you started eating some chips and maybe you went into it thinking like, oh yeah, I heard Krista say on her Instagram the other day, you know, really make sure you prioritize protein, whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be me. There's so many coaches out there sharing this type of advice because it's good advice. But you go in and you see the chips, you see the dip. A lot of people messaged me on Instagram and said there was a lot of buffalo chicken dip. I love that because it has protein in it. But maybe you went into it with the intention of being like, okay, cool. I know that I want to be conscious of what I'm putting on my plate. I don't want to walk out of here feeling totally stuffed. I don't want to wake up on Monday morning, the day after the Super Bowl, feeling like I need to go in my closet and find that pair of pants or that certain outfit I always wear on my maybe not so best body image days, on my more bloated days. I'm sure you didn't go into the party wanting any of those things, because who the heck would? Definitely not somebody listening to this podcast, but not anybody. If anybody says they're actually okay with that, come on, you're lying to yourself. So what the heck happens? You tell yourself walking into the party that you have no intention of the outcome being anything I just described. And yet somehow you walk out of there, or maybe you woke up on Monday morning and that was your reality. You felt bloated. You chose to step on the scale. You didn't really love the number you saw, but you kind of hung your hat on the fact that, hey, this is just one meal. I'm not going to stress out about it. And I hope that you didn't stress out about it. I want to say this before I give my hot take on the rest of this opinion. I want to make sure that you know that it is not worth stressing about this one meal, or maybe calorically what could have been like three meals. It's not worth stressing out about until we put into context what it represents. It's also not worth stressing out about the day after because guess what? That makes you, football pun, Monday morning quarterback. You already did it. And right now, you can't do anything in the immediate to undo the things that you chose to do the day before that you knowingly did, despite the fact that you had the best intentions of saying that you didn't want to feel like that, right? And that's where a lot of us start to build up shame. That's where a lot of us start to feel guilty. That's where a lot of us start to kind of have this conversation with ourselves of like, I know I didn't want to feel this way. So why did I even do that in the first place? And that's where the deeper question and why this meal actually does matter a hell of a lot comes in. I would argue, and I'm amending for any upcoming holiday, you guys can hold me to this as I'm recording this right now, holiday, party, whatever it is, I am going to say that it actually matters. I am no longer going to say that it is just one day with the caveat that it matters because it represents your relationship with food. And here's where I will tie my own personal experience in. So even as somebody who's tracked their food intake for like 7 years, coming up on year seven, on and off, it was not every single day, certainly for months at a time that I didn't do it. Lots of months where I would just kind of half-ass it and only track half my day, you name it. I went through periods where parties like that would give me so much anxiety because I might have been on a roll, seeing a lot of progress, consistently losing weight. And I carried a lot of fear around being in a situation like that because I know myself well enough to know that if I see a whole bowl of chips, if I'm not actually plating out and being specific and intentional about my portion sizes, it's so easy for me to eat a chip, go back to the bowl, eat another one, eat a chip, go back to the bowl, eat another one, right? And on and on and on and on, almost to the point where you don't even pay attention that it's happening. And guess what? The food is designed, the texture, the flavor, for you to actually behave that way around it because it keeps you coming back for more, which makes the cycle of you spending more money on it continue. And doesn't the company want that? The company that's selling you that food? Yeah, they do. So that's not to say we're not responsible for that choice. But what I've realized is that even with having structure in place, with something like food tracking, with understanding something like macronutrients, if we don't actually acknowledge how these situations show us and literally demonstrate to us that maybe we have more work to do around our relationship with food, the food tracking itself, the approach of looking at your macros and understanding the breakdown of protein, carbs, and fat actually just becomes a Band-Aid. So while I can totally stand behind the statement that if we only have a few holidays a year where you happen to be indulging in a few more options, just mathematically, is that going to add up to potentially make you gain body fat? No, it shouldn't. But it shouldn't if and only if you have a good relationship with food. So what does that even look like? That looks like you going to a party like a Super Bowl party this past Sunday, and not feeling like it gives you license to, honestly, guys, eat like an asshole. There's no better way to say it. I don't remember. I had a coach years ago or a company that I was working with. There was a coach who always used to say that, like, on the weekends, don't eat like an asshole. And a lot of us are really doing it. And we sit here and we act like we can't possibly understand why we're stuck in the same place, the scale won't budge, or why over extended periods of time, we're gaining weight, even though we think that we're actually eating healthy. If you took a look at these scenarios where your food environment isn't really that controlled, you actually have a ton of clues on what you can potentially work on. So instead of us saying, hey, we don't really need to worry, like let's just throw scenarios like Super Bowl Sunday to the side, I actually think we should lean into this discomfort. So here's exactly what happened to me on Sunday. I knew I was going to a party. And there are a few things that I always do anytime I'm going to some sort of event where I know there will be a lot of food around. And I can tell you, just to bring it back to when I mentioned, you know, I've been tracking my food for 7 years, how has this evolved over time? A lot of what I'm about to say, I did not do in the beginning. And that's why for maybe like the first 3 years of tracking my food, I used the food tracking itself as like such a sense of control to be able to convince myself that because I had these guardrails up, let's call the food tracking almost like having the bumpers up when you're bowling, it's going to help you. It's going to help you have more awareness. It's going to help you, you know, color within the lines, so to speak. But what I didn't realize was that I wasn't at a place in my relationship with food to be able to be like, do I even really want to eat this thing? I kind of use macros as like my reason for saying no to something because it didn't fit. So for example, let's say there were a ton of chips or something like that at a party, you know, previous Krista 4 or 5 years ago, she would have been like, okay, I know there's going to be chips here. I will use my pre-planning skills, my macro tracking skills to budget for a few of them. But if I was being really honest, I usually had more than whatever it was that I budgeted for. And like any human being, I'd play the game with myself of being like, okay, well, this is what I tracked. So I'm going to say that's what I ate. And for a while I could get away with that because it was never extreme enough that I was going like way overboard. And because the frequency of these events where I had a lot of food available to me wasn't that often, it didn't really add up in the grand scheme of things. That's why I totally wholeheartedly agreed with this idea of like, yeah, it's just one day. It doesn't really matter. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Super Bowl, birthday, whatever. But I was missing the deeper meaning. And I would then, you know, fast forward to periods in my life where I wasn't so controlled 6 out of the 7 days of the week, because like I said, I wasn't diligently tracking. I wasn't making sure that I was hitting enough protein. So these events where there was a lot of food around, where that food environment wasn't controlled, actually did become a problem for me. Because think about it this way. The first version of me that I described from years ago when I first started tracking my food was so locked in for 95% of the time within a week span and within month spans. I was only missing my macros, so to speak, maybe like twice a month out of 30 days, right? So if 28 out of the 30 days I was killing it, the odds of me actually losing body fat and continuing to maintain my physique were really high, right? Like think about it. You don't even need to know what I was eating or what I was doing. I'm just basically giving you the math on my compliance and telling you that you don't need to be perfect. We all know that. If you've been on, you know, a longtime listener of this podcast, you guys know I'm not here trying to tell you that the only way to get the results you desire is to be restrictive, give everything up. Absolutely not. It doesn't work. It's the antithesis of everything that we stand for at the Fitness Fix. But let's paint the comparison against the secondary version of myself, the more recent one that I just told you wasn't being really on point with tracking her food. My compliance on a 30-day basis was maybe like 15 out of 30, not 28 out of 30. So in which scenario can you kind of get away with eating more food at events like the Super Bowl? Well, of course, the one where you're compliant 95% of the time. And I don't know if that's the exact percentage, that math, but let's call it basically 99% of the time versus the one that's only compliant 15 out of the 30. That's literally only 50% of the time. So if you're only doing what you know will get you the end results you desire 50% of the time, and then you have this situation where you're being tested and you decide, hey, like I want to eat all of the things. Well, the thing we need to look at is, yes, we do need to look at why are you not being compliant more like 28 days out of the week or even or out of the month or 30 days or close to it, right? Why aren't you a little more compliant like this person over here? I'm trying to show these two extremes. And ideally, we want to get to the one that's kind of in the middle. So let's call it maybe it's like 25 days and then 1 or 2 days out of the month. So like 2 weekends out of the month, you have one meal where, you know, things don't really go as planned, let's call it, or you eat a little bit more than you intended to. That's the sweet spot that we're all trying to get to. But the problem is, at least in my experience, I only had this picture that made me assume that the answer was, if I'm super dialed in 28 out of the 30 days, well, then that's what I need to do to be able to kind of say, F it, I'm going to eat what I want to eat at these parties, at these holidays, in these situations. But again, the issue there is that's actually perpetuating this all or nothing mindset because I'm hanging on to these rules that like, well, if I do everything I need to do over here, I can just say F it in these one-off situations over there. But transparently, that doesn't make you feel good. Think about what the scenario that I just described to kick off this episode. Feeling bloated, waking up, stepping on the scale and being like, ugh, asking yourself why this is like a hamster wheel that you feel stuck on, wondering why your clothes don't fit the way that you want them to, And then imagine thinking that all you need to do is run back to that really kind of restrictive mindset because that worked for you before. That's not going to last. That's going to keep you on the dieting hamster wheel that you are trying so hard to break away from. So how do we fix this? Honestly, it takes time. And in a lot of cases, for most of us, it takes the extremity that I just described. It takes living in that, oh my gosh, I need to be all the way up here because maybe I was coming from all the way down here, when in reality, we just kind of want to meet somewhere in the middle. But what's hard is that middle doesn't have as much structure for us. It can, and that's where the time comes into play. So for me personally, after spending 7 years of tracking food and really taking a hard look at what's going on in my life right now as it stands today, what are my biggest challenges? What, not even challenges, but what does my day-to-day even look like that may prevent me from being successful in tracking my food fully and actually hitting my macros versus what, how can I just kind of coast? All of this is going to come down to the results that you actually want, right? But we really find that a lot of us get stuck is we then tend to swing so far to the other direction of being like, this feels tedious. This feels like too much work. So I'm just going to say, screw it. And that's where the whole eating like an asshole comes into play. You can't get away with that either. But what kind of growth can we show ourselves if we actually look at these scenarios of, hey, my exact scenario on Sunday, there's chicken parm subs. There was 4 different types of pizza and huge XL pies. There were wings, there were french fries, and there was a 5-layer dip that I bought, and there were drinks, and there were lots of chips. Right? Like, if all of those things sound tasty to you, I didn't even mention dessert. There was also dessert too, which I just chose not to have, and I'll explain why. The Krista 5 years ago would have been like, okay, I know these things are coming. I'll be able to plan for them. Talk to my friend about what is available at the party, which I still recommend doing, by the way. I think it's a good tactic. And then really try to restrict myself so that I could have as many options as possible going into that party. But what did that lead to that then pushed me all the way to that other side of the extreme, that pushed me all the way over to the other side that I was just describing, to where I would kind of be like, I don't want to do this. I don't feel like tracking this. I'm just not in the mood. I was so locked in for those other meals throughout the day that I felt so restricted to the point where I was actually going into those parties super hungry. And if you've been in that situation, and we've all been in that situation, think about the last time your hunger felt like an emergency. It literally could have been on Sunday because maybe you did something similar to me. Maybe you weren't as intentional, because maybe you weren't actually logging your food, but maybe you played the whole game of, I'm not going to eat breakfast or lunch because I'm going to save up all of my calories walking into that party. That, you guys, is a slippery slope for you to feel like you want to eat everything in sight. I don't know anybody who has enough willpower. I just personally haven't met them. If you're listening out there, come DM me, challenge me, tell me I'm wrong. But most of the people that I work with, myself included, we do not thrive in the situation of being so restrictive. And we're going to be like, okay, we'll just, you know, eat all our food in this one sitting. It doesn't work. At least not in my experience. So what I've since learned in trying to think about food tracking is something that actually fits into my lifestyle versus something that needs to dictate my lifestyle. Do you hear that distinction there? It fits into my life. It's not something that dictates every single choice I make. I make it work for me. And let me be clear, in me making it work for me, I have to keep my goals in mind. If, let's say, I had a short timeline, I was looking to lose 10 pounds and do so by spring break. If you're listening to this episode in mid-February, well, guess what? Maybe you need to think twice about the chicken parm subs, the pizza, the fries, all those things that were available at the party that I was at, because the timeline that you're working in to get to that 10-pound fat loss, that 10-pound weight loss, is condensed. But I'm talking more about just living your life, because I know for most of you who are listening out there, you are looking for that lifestyle solution. You're looking for that last solution. Do you have points in your life where maybe you do want to speed things up? Of course. And guess what? That's exactly what we teach inside of the Fitness Fix, being able to cycle through those periods where it makes sense for us to be dialed in, and those periods where we want to lean back a little bit. We want to have a little bit more flexibility. And I think the ultimate flex, the ultimate demonstration of maturity, is when you can get to a point where you recognize that you can have both. And I feel like I'm at that point, and I want all of you guys to come along that journey. I want you to be able to get to a point where you can say that too. And that's why I think this is important to share. So knowing that I do have goals this year of losing some body fat, of prioritizing myself, being consistent in my routine, which doesn't only include the gym, it also includes food tracking because it makes me feel good. I'm also working on recognizing that one of the rules that I've been holding on to for a really long time, as evidenced by, you know, the Krista 3 years ago, 4 years ago versus my approach to this now, is that if I wasn't tracking, I would use that as license to kind of just like say whatever and eat whatever I want. That's something I desire to change. That is something that I encourage every Fitness Fix client to be mindful of from the very beginning so that it doesn't turn into this multi-year process that we have to kind of undo that. And that comes with trusting yourself and learning how to trust yourself in these environments where there is a lot of food, like these Super Bowl parties. So again, instead of sitting here and being like, oh, it doesn't matter because it's just one day and I know the scale is going to go back down, what if we looked at this as an opportunity to really start to learn to trust ourselves around a lot of food, to really start to get clear on what actually makes us feel good? Because here's the thing. What I did at my Super Bowl party was I prioritized protein earlier in the day, but I still made sure I ate a decent amount of carbohydrates. I had a lot of fruit. I had some veggies, but I had tons of egg whites for breakfast. And I didn't skip the bread that I normally eat with my breakfast, my French toast, because I love that. And honestly, I knew there would be pizza at the party. And I asked myself in the morning, I was like, do I want pizza more than I want my French toast? And the answer for me was pretty clear. It was no, I actually like really enjoy this meal for breakfast. It's a staple for me. And I want to be able to continue to eat that. And if that means I have one less slice of pizza, or if that means I choose not to have the pizza, I'm cool with that. And I wanted to have that conversation with myself before walking into this party, because I knew the party would be the opportunity for me to be able to assess, how true is that for me? Can I live that intention out? Can I actually do what I'm saying I want to do? Because that's the connection to what makes us feel good, right? Because I'm literally sitting here saying, in a perfect world where there are no consequences, would it be great to have as many pieces of pizza as I wanted and a bunch of pieces of French toast? I don't know, you guys, because we can say that and it sounds really good in theory because like, oh yeah, I'd love to have no consequences and eat whatever I want. But let's break that down a little bit more. Is that really true? Is that like inherently true that you just want to be able to eat anything? We do want the flexibility to be able to eat things that taste good, but I don't know many people who feel really great, like intrinsically feel really good inside when they load up on a bunch of those foods all in one sitting. So the growth comes when you can recognize two things. One, that you don't even actually want that, right? Everything I'm saying now. And two, if it does happen, and it certainly could, you could certainly indulge if you were the person out there who had the intention of, like I said, only having, you know, the serving size, a handful of chips. You started out by plating it, and then that turned into you going back to the bowl and having another one and another one. It's okay for that to happen if you can move on from it. And that's where that whole sentiment of us coaches saying, hey, it doesn't matter, it's just one day, kind of comes in and isn't totally wrong. But if you truly seek change that's permanent, I would challenge you. Think ahead to the rest of your social calendar for the next couple of months. I'll go back to the spring break example because that could be coming up for people. And ask yourself, are you the person who, like me, kind of recognized that they had food rules in their head around how to eat when we do track and we're actually paying attention to it just because we're writing it down? And for those of you listening to the audio, I'm putting paying attention in quotes because that's a bunch of BS. We can't say that we're only paying attention to our food when we actually log it. If we really care about how we feel, we need to pay attention to our food choices even when we're not writing it down. And if you struggle with that, that is where building that self-awareness, if you struggle specifically with building that self-awareness, that is where coaching programs like the Fitness Fix come in. That is why coaching programs like the Fitness Fix are not as simple as, hey, here you go, here are some macros, go ahead and track them. Because if it were that easy, you could literally go online and do that yourself. But it's about coming up with the choices that you're facing on a regular basis when you're being pulled in a bunch of different directions and still finding the moments, still taking the approach to where you can prioritize what is going to make you feel good, not only right in that present moment, because that's always what this is a question of. That's where we get tripped up. The chicken parm sub, the slice of pizza, it makes us feel good in that moment when we're eating it. But what we really need to ask ourselves, what I'm practicing asking myself is, how is this going to serve the future me? Even if it fits my macros, right? How is this going to serve the future me based on how I feel? And I can promise you that if you tap into how you feel and you use these moments, these situations, like learning experiences to leave you clues on what you might not yet be good at, the changes that you can make are going to have such a big domino effect. And you don't see that because half of us are out here talking about how, oh, well, these things don't happen all the time, so don't worry about it. We can get away with that for a while. I will still stand by that statement. But when it comes down to it, if we want to take our health to the next level, and taking our health to the next level doesn't have to be that you're chasing these like super low digit body fat percentages. To me, taking your health to the next level is making those decisions from a place of, how does this make me feel? And asking yourself that question, well, that's going to require you to be a little more present, to tap into yourself and ask yourself those questions in advance of maybe being a part of one of these parties, holidays, whatever. And then saying from there, okay, what's a decision that I want to go with? And if you don't make the one that, if you make the decision that only made you feel good in the moment and you don't make the one that you intended to make before you walked into that party, know that it is okay because it's just one day. But also know that if you want that next level, if you want that growth, if you want that maturity, you can only say that to yourself for so long. So if you're hearing this and you're like, oh, I never really thought about it that way before, cool, because that was my intention of recording this and the reason why I'm sharing it. But if maybe that made you think in a different way about why it is you have a fat loss goal or why it is that you want to make changes in your life, good, because that was also my intention. I want you to be able to walk away from these podcasts, especially when it's just me. Obviously, our guests rock, and it's fun to have these conversations with other people, even if they have different perspectives. But I want you to be able to walk away from this being like, I never really thought about this before. And maybe because I thought about, or maybe I just didn't think about it in this way. And now that I am thinking about it in this way, something clicked for me. Clicked enough for me to go ahead and realize that if I keep doing what I'm doing, if I keep telling myself this story of, oh yeah, it doesn't matter, it's just one party out of the month, it's just one holiday out of the month, it's just one holiday out of the year, I'll be fine, then how are you changing? You can change in a greater capacity, and you can change in a more meaningful capacity if you look at your relationship with food, but also acknowledge that it's okay to have the structure in place too. And having a little bit of both, having the structure through tracking and looking at your macros, is really that sweet spot where we live inside of the Fitness Fix. And we encourage our clients to explore too. And some of this can be a little bit abstract because it's making you feel a little bit uncomfortable when you have a coach that's like, hey, you should go out to eat. I love when clients first start our program and they're like, oh, I'm traveling next week, I don't think I should start right now. Yes, you should. Because that's your life. And this is going to give us a huge opportunity to be able to maybe uncover something that clearly, if you're saying you're apprehensive, is your Achilles heel. So this is why we should start talking about it right now. Because if we can change that, well, what else could we possibly unlock for you? More importantly, how much easier can this whole thing feel? And keyword, how much easier can it feel? It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy every time. It doesn't mean that it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows. Like I said, if you have a specific goal on a much shorter timeline, I wouldn't necessarily encourage somebody to have the leeway to be like, okay, yeah, like eat what you want at the party, because that's just not the reality. But I think most people out there, again, in looking for that lasting solution and looking for that lifetime solution, don't want to walk away feeling guilty every time they're in one of these situations. And sometimes some of the approaches that we take can become a band-aid for that. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that, just think about that. So that's all I got for today's episode. If it resonates with you, if you feel like there's somebody else who needs to hear this message, you guys know what to do. Two ways that you can help spread the word on the Fix podcast is leaving a review. If you're on Apple, just scroll all the way down to the bottom, smash those 5 stars. Spotify, same thing. Super easy, takes 2 seconds. Share it with a friend. Send them a text. Maybe this starts a conversation for you guys. Maybe you have a totally different opinion than me. I'd love to hear it. Send me a DM. I love when you guys, we've been getting a lot more feedback on our last couple of episodes. You guys in my DMs know who you are, and I appreciate you for sharing that, because in assuming this is important to me, hopefully it's important to you guys out there too. But I love knowing some of the things that maybe specifically speak to where you're getting caught up right this second. And that's why we try to keep it timely. And that's why we try to talk about things like the Super Bowl, because guess what? It's going to happen again next year too, right? So walking away from this, if you take a second and you ask yourself how you want to feel, and the answer of how you felt on Monday is not how you want to feel moving forward, it's not how you want to feel after every holiday, it's not how you want to feel after every single trip, but you truthfully have been saying that to yourself for a little while, ask yourself if you're meant to do this on your own. Ask yourself if maybe you have some fears that are holding you back from raising your hand and asking for help, because there's nothing wrong with asking for help. Our one-on-one coaching application is open. The link every week is in the show notes. So if you've been coming back here and each week you're saying to yourself, hey, maybe she has a point, I have the best intentions by listening to this episode, but I'm kind of in the same spot that I was back in January. You could be 6 weeks closer to a goal that you want to achieve in 2024. And maybe you are in small ways just by listening to this podcast. And I so hope that is true, because that's why we do what we do inside of our coaching program. But that's also why I publish these episodes every single week. It's also one of the reasons why I have so much fun doing solos, because I get the chance to think about what I'm seeing are some of my pain points and some of my growth moments to bring you along that and kind of just say, hey, as a coach, I don't have it all figured out. I'm just a couple steps ahead. But at the same time, I know that if you're a true action taker, I know that if you're truly serious about making these changes, you'd recognize that it's a no-brainer to raise your hand and ask for the help. So here's my nudge to go ahead and do it. And with that, as always, from wherever you are listening from, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will catch you guys next week.